We start this hour with the latest from Iran. After a fire broke out in that country's infamous Evin prison over the weekend, Iranian officials say at least 8 people are dead, though that official number has fluctuated. The prison holds many of Iran's political prisoners, including people who've taken part in the massive wave of protests against the government since 22-year-old Mahsa Amini died in the custody of the morality police last month. Borzu Daragahi has been following convulsions in Iran for a while. He's international correspondent at The Independent. Borzu, start with the fire, officials blaming thugs. What do we know about what's happened here?
It's still not completely clear what has happened in this prison. There's conflicting accounts coming from the government. According to fragmentary stories pieced together from prisoners and families of prisoners who've managed to get quick phone calls with their loved ones inside the facility, there was some kind of incident led to a fire. Some of the prisoners in one ward tried to save and rescue the prisoners who were in the affected ward. And then there was a confrontation with the security forces. There was tear gas fired, gunfire that could be heard throughout northern Tehran. This is a pretty densely populated residential area where this prison is located. And people were filming not only the fire erupting from this facility, but also they recorded the sounds of explosions and gunfire and chants of death to the dictator from inside the facility. Extraordinary moments. We know that one very famous director, Jafar Panahi, who's won a lot of awards in the international film circuit, managed to get a call to his wife and told her these were the worst hours of his life.
Oh, boy. Do we know how many protesters from the current protests were in that prison?
We don't. We don't even have a full accounting of how many people have been arrested over the last little bit more than a month of protests. One human rights organization estimates that at least 7,000 people have been arrested across the country, but that's probably an underestimate. They've been arresting people who are not just protesters, but just the usual suspects. Dissidents who have been in and out of prison for years have been arrested at their homes, police storming in. So there's all sorts of people, and not just in this prison, prisons in Rasht. There have been there's been unrest there, and several people killed a little bit more than a week ago. And then even this morning in the city of Karaj, there was a incident in a prison where the siren went off. We still don't have details about that.
Look, you have some terrific writing, and we'll link people at herenow.org, but one article, you make a pretty powerful argument that there's no way that change will come from this ruling regime, that it's a cult. It's not spreading lies, you know, about the West ginning this up. It actually believes that. What do you think will happen here?
You know, people who are 14 years old, 16 years old are taking part in these protests, especially young women. And, you know, it is incompatible. These people are incompatible with the ideology of the Islamic Republic. Why is that so dangerous? Because these people who run the Islamic Republic, they don't really, they're not like traditional politicians. They're not really that corrupt. They're, you know, not out there for themselves. They actually believe in this stuff. They believe in the ideology of the Islamic Republic, and they believe that their supreme leader is God's representative on earth. And that is so dangerous because any move they make is by definition righteous, and anyone who is against them is by definition an enemy who needs to be corrected or fixed or purged. And so there's a potential for grave violence here. I spoke to one scholar who likened it to Stalin, the Holodomor famine in the 1930s in Ukraine. The problem wasn't his bad agricultural policies. It was these people were starving to make him look bad. And so he further punished the Ukrainians for making him look bad in the world's eyes. And I see a situation like that developing where these people are, their genuine concerns are not recognized, but seen as flies on the, you know, beautiful edifice of the Islamic Republic.
Borzu Daragahi, international correspondent at The Independent, who's watching these events unfold with a practiced eye from Paris. Borzu, thank you so much.
Always a pleasure, Robin.